This week's episode has no paid subscribers, so you know what to do. But you can see me doing stand-up live at Charlotte, North Carolina's Comedy Zone, December 17th through 20th with Heath Heitch, and headlining New Year's Eve weekend at Laughs Unlimited in Old Sacramento, California. Enjoy the show.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 122, Thanksgiving recap. Lots of stuff to cover, lots of stuff to go over. Good times were had in my house. But first, before we get to anything, I feel like we should address. I put it out for anybody who heard the episode that came out before this one, a special announcement. It wasn't really an episode. It was the shortest time you've heard me talk on this show to date. But Paco did not join me for our announcement that we are part of the Joyride app because you have a medical condition. Yes, yes?
This is true.
So what's going on? I feel like that's what we should start with.
Yeah, let's just get this out of the way. And I may sound okay right now, but I'm choosing my words carefully.
Here's the thing. Honestly, you just sound a little drunk.
Well, I am a little drunk.
Oh, yeah. When aren't you?
All right, so here's the deal, kids. In the course of my lifetime, I've had two bouts with something called Bell's palsy, which is a paralysis that's brought on by inflammation that impedes a nerve into the face. So I had it once in my 20s on the right side of my face, once in my 30s on the left side, and now it's back again on the left side. So the effect on my face is I look a little droopy. The plosives are difficult. The F's.
The what's it?
Plosives.
What are plosives?
Plosives. It's anything that letter P is a plosive. That's why you have the little muffin on the
thing. Is it like
here.
Kicking a man when I'm down now and I ask you to define the words you're using?
That I can't say. Yeah.
All right. It's going to be very awkward for me then.
So I may sound a little, I may sound a little drunk as a thing, but it hasn't affected my sense of humor or my bitterness. So
in fact, it should be possibly enhanced it. Let's be honest. This might crank it up a notch.
So this was a couple days ago and just been coping with that. And it's a painless thing. And in the past, they never gave me drugs. Now they're giving me some anti-inflammatory type stuff. So hopefully that will help it. It's taken me in the past 4 to 6 weeks, maybe longer, to recover.
Yeah.
They're saying a month now, so we'll see how that
goes.
How
did you told me that you felt it coming on in the early part of a morning. Is that correct?
Yes. In the past, it was precipitated by a pain in the back of my neck, which is not uncommon, apparently. But I was not aware of other precursor things. And in this case, it was Thursday morning, Thanksgiving morning, and I ate a little bit of some homemade garlic bread I didn't share with you.
Oh, okay. Bread or that you'd had garlic?
The bread itself.
Both, really?
Yeah.
You did share with us some delightful bread and cornbread.
I'm glad you liked
it.
Good.
Thank you.
And I took a bite of it. This is crazy because it's, you know, 7 in the morning, I'm eating garlic bread. But
sounds great.
Yeah. And I felt like a weird taste or a weird sensation on my tongue. And I thought, oh, maybe the garlic had burned or there was something having to do with the garlic. And I didn't give it much thought. That was Thursday morning. On Saturday, early morning, the dogs had me up very early. And I was in the kitchen. I was getting a drink out of like a plastic type bottle. And I could feel the relationship between the bottle and my lips was a little odd. And I thought, that feels a little Bell's palsy-ish to me, so I was a little worried about it.
Uh-huh.
By 9:30, I was in the emergency room because having a drooping face and some of these other symptoms that are typical of Bell's palsy are also typical of a stroke.
Yes.
And I'm not a young man anymore, so I thought I'd better get over there and have someone give me the once-over, which they did.
Lee, you are already seeing a doctor, so I'm sure this goes without saying.
Yes.
My father is the only other person that I know to have had Bell's palsy.
Oh, wow.
He, as we discussed off-air, he contracted some kind of like herpes like virus
yeah.
from a pool in Mexico, of all places. I feel like the story would be so much better if he was at the grotto at the Playboy Mansion.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yes,
and then it would be, there would be like, oh, wow, that's awesome. You
right.
got like James Caan herpes in yeah, you or right. something, you know? But so he said, oh, this is an interesting. Wow, look at the listeners are well aware of Butcher
oh,
Drew
wow.
in the chat room says, did you feel this during your race at all?
No, it was prior to the race that I felt that thing on my tongue.
Okay.
And then it was a full 24 hours or
before
more later
it
really nailed me.
So anyway, I was talking to my dad about he had like a really bad infection in his eyes. His eyes got all puffy. And then
yeah.
Like a few days after they had cleared that up, where they just dumped him full of antibiotics and stuff to get rid of the herpes virus.
Yeah.
Then he developed Bell's palsy, and he goes,
oh,
and
wow.
they just dumped me full of steroids as well during that time. He goes, and they believed, but they weren't sure that the herpes thing was what led to the Bell's palsy. But what he said to me is that
yeah.
he said, make sure you tell Adam that he needs to stay on top of this because around you guys aren't quite close in age, but you're not quite distant in age,
yeah.
I guess, or whatever. He said,
yeah, now you're scaring me.
Right. He said, these are strong signs for a stroke.
Yeah.
So he said,
yeah,
you have
right.
to be very,
well,
very careful.
There you go.
So
this
he,
is why...
too, is afraid, you know, what could happen to a deer paw. Because my end of the story was
yes.
I was literally taking a shit. And my,
I did not hear this yet.
And my phone
mercifully.
Goes with your tailor-made text message. So I go, oh, maybe you needed a cup of sugar. You know,
right.
something along those lines.
Right.
Adam texts me and says, had a CAT scan, details to follow, ... Now, my first reaction was like, oh, shit, what's wrong? And then my second reaction, at least 2 seconds
yes.
before I twisted and got angry, was that I was like, listen, fuckwad, don't be sending me a text message that says, hey, by the way, something's wrong with my body, my brain, whatever that needs to be CAT scanned.
Right.
It's like just... But here's what I learned. My family does things very, very different, which will take us kind of towards the Thanksgiving recap, isn't that?
Yes.
If somebody is dying in the hospital, we
yeah.
don't call anybody.
Right.
You understand? So, but then after the fact is all done
yeah.
and we have all the information or whatever, then we call and we say, here's what happened. Here's what the outlook is.
Right.
But so if my mom takes my dad to the hospital for a heart attack at 12 a.m.,
yeah.
I will not find out about said heart attack until possibly 10 a.m. because then
right.
they will know there's no chance of waking me up. There's
right.
no, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And then they're going to think, oh, well, he's not really working. But if I had a job, they wouldn't call me while I was at work. They
right,
would wait
right.
till I got off work that night. Because they're like, well, what are you going to do that's going
yeah,
to change this?
Exactly.
So
you'll be helpless to do anything.
And I'll just be sitting there going, oh,
worry.
God, I hope he's okay, and
yeah,
blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
And so that's why it was funny. That was why I was like, well, it was foreign to me because I don't really have
right,
anybody
right.
In my life that's close that has had any kind of remote health issue.
Yeah, well, just keep an eye on me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why. So I jokingly said, I go, listen, you know, knock it off with these text messages. Either tell me
right.
I've had a CAT scan, everything is fine, or
right.
I've had a CAT scan, I think I'm having a stroke. We need to work out how we could do a year's worth of podcast in 2 weeks because I have 3 weeks to live, kind of a thing.
Yes.
To which you responded, you know, laugh my ass off and then, you know, said, well, we're not sure. To kinda, then you went
yeah.
on to explain everything.
Right,
but,
right.
Justice pooping, lean back. It'll be a long ride. How dare you? How dare you? So you're good though. It's just
I'm essentially good. I saw a neurologist yesterday, a very sexy, Mimi Lee, Dr.
Oh.
Mimi Lee. She
so
was
like
very
he's
nice.
23 or what?
No.
Well, then why makes him sexy?
Okay, she was beautiful.
Oh,
even according to the lovely Luna, who's
oh.
been right beside me.
Some maybe
this
you
whole
figure
time.
Out a way to pay your copay. Bounce chicken wow wow. Say, you know, while you're looking at that head doc, why don't you go ahead and travel down south and give me a little CAT scan of the downstairs. Luna's going to take care of her end, like her namesake.
Right.
And you're going to get what I now call a pussy scan. Get it? Because it's a cat, too. Meow.
Oh, Lord. None of that happened.
None of that happened?
No.
It will in my mind.
It was more along the lines of take a blood test and to eliminate some possibilities. And she found an ear infection in that side, or she thought a mild ear infection that might be part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
So in any case, I'm on a battery of even more drugs than usual.
Yeah.
And,
do you take, meds for your blood pressure?
I take blood pressure meds and a variety of other things. So
that was the other thing my dad said. He goes, make sure he's at least got medication for blood pressure.
I am on top of the blood pressure. I'm on top of, I mean, all the walking and stuff I do.
All right.
Keeping active, all of that. So that's all very good. In fact, in the emergency room, my blood pressure numbers were dynamite.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So.
Oh, good, good, good.
So
oh,
that good. Was cool. And then I said, then I saw my GP today.
General practitioner?
Yes. And he's a guy I like a lot. He's a good. I had to drive to Glendale. I usually see him in Burbank. So extra.
Where does he rate on the look scale?
He is a dead ringer for Dan Castellaneta.
Oh.
But with a bigger head
voice
of hair.
Voice of Homer Simpson.
The voice of Homer Simpson.
I'm a little bummed that I knew who that was. I really wanted to be the incomparable
right.
Dan Castellaneta that nobody knows
but
who
nobody
they
knows.
Are.
No.
But there's a strong chance nobody knows who what he looks like
this is,
because
this
he's
is
only
very
known
true.
For being the voice right. of Homer. But you've seen him in the Christopher Guest movies like Best in Show and as like an ancillary part. He'll pop in every now and then
okay.
in all those
I'm not
movies.
Familiar with him.
Oh, yeah. I think he's close friends with all those guys. And so they throw him a little.
Oh, you know what? He is a big improviser. So
Yeah. Second City alum too.
I had a chance to work with him. I'll tell you all that story another time when we actually
edgewise.
Have time. Edgewise, some edgewise down the road.
You might want to have your plosives for when you do it.
Yes, we may need to save it. So anyway, my GP basically, confirmed what we'd already thought, and he was, warned me that it's going to take a while and so on and so forth.
All right.
So I've seen a battery of doctors. I'll tell you one thing though about being in the emergency room. I felt like Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, really?
I have never been whisked to the front of so many lines because you walk in and you go, hey, listen, my face is droopy. Mm-hmm. I'm 50.
Yeah.
Boom, the door's open.
Yeah.
And I've not. This
Dude's
is the
stroking
Lindsay-
out. We got to watch it.
The rest of the Lindsay Lohan connection is that I've never been looked at with such disgust and anger by large groups of people. As I jumped to the front of every line, and I saw a series of medical professionals like lightning speed. One person would come in, ask a question, run out, get the next guy.
How quick did it take them to figure out it was Bell's palsy?
Well, I kind of told them to begin with, but I had to give them the heads up that
you didn't tell the receptionist that.
I did.
Oh,
but it doesn't matter. It didn't seem to slow it down.
Yeah, you don't do that. You don't make it sound like it's not a big deal.
Well,
you got ahead of that guy with a hatchet in his eye.
No, I got ahead of everybody.
Good. That's the way it should be. We need Paco here.
There were a few times I had to wait.
You need to explain to these people at St. Joseph's Hospital that you entertain masses of people,
exactly.
Right?
We can't be fooling around.
You know what I mean? You're an internet celebrity, damn it.
Very well cared for over there. So anyway, we'll keep you posted, and hopefully I'll sound a little bit better as we go along.
You sound great. Don't even worry.
Thank you very much.
So let's do a little Thanksgiving recap while we're on that subject a little bit. I guess I'm shoehorning it, really. But my in-laws came. Anybody who's been a longtime listener of this show knows that I fucking hate my mother-in-law. And let's just say that this Thanksgiving did not disappoint.
Oh, wow. I got to hear this.
I can't remember what we talked about the last time we recorded. I think it was we did the Sunday record instead of our usual Tuesday night record.
Yeah.
And he had a foot infection.
Yes.
He drove all the way down here, gets out of the car. Of course, it is his right foot that was infected and in a boot. So the man had to drive.
He drove with that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. She doesn't drive?
No. She's a
how
princess.
How can she nag him from the driver's seat?
Or how could she just prove and continue her useless existence? If she actually had a purpose to serve.
Oh, this is going to get
beyond
good, people.
Shitting out of the love of my life. That moment, her, in my opinion,
yes,
her contribution to this world ended 35 years ago.
I got you.
That the minute that child came out, because, listen, sisters had got involved and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And again, I can't wait for her to find the internet. And I really do.
That was the end of her useful day. Purpose
well, here's
on
what,
Earth.
So here's what happened. So we did Thanksgiving, and it actually wasn't so bad. It was pretty nice.
But they were down a day or two early.
Yes, they ended up arriving on Tuesday. So the day after he had had an IV antibiotic and was responding well, he drove about 4.5 to 5 hours.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, I think I found a son of a bitch who's worse off than I am.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, dude. Anybody who needs a perspective of why their life is much better than someone's, it is my poor sap of a father-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So his mother is 98, I believe now, 96 or 98.
Your father-in-law's mother.
Yes.
Okay.
And so she lives out in the Inland Empire in the east part of L.A. or whatever, yeah. San Bernardino,
right.
Yucaipa area. So he decides, I think it was the day after Thanksgiving, he's going to head out there. Now, here's right. why this is important. He goes out there. He comes in at 10 in the morning and just says, Justin, I need you to do me a favor. I said, yeah, you got it. And there's a part of me that's like, this is the day we kill her, right? Like, this is, both the kids are in school. Like, we could just yeah. fucking bang this
I've
out.
Got the garbage bags and the lie.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, I've been, what if I did? Wouldn't it be great? Oh, I've been waiting for this day. And I just pull a 357 Magnum out from right. underneath the couch cushion. Like, I got it.
Right.
And I'm threading a silencer onto it. And I'm grabbing a pillow. I never liked this one anyway. Oh, right. this is going to be so much fun. He's like, and then he, but he actually said, I need you to call my sister and tell her that I'm coming. So I said, oh, okay. I go, well, do you know her number? Because I thought he was having one of those old guy moments where he just seems, so we'll just ask the internet what her name is and right. then we'll give you her phone number. But he goes, no, he had it memorized because he's a real person, not right. living in the digital age like we do. So we go through it. And I and call her, and then he goes. Well, he just leaves, and then Barbara comes in, and she says, she goes, well, I won't go with him. I won't go with him. He actually also said, which I found interesting, is that he goes, yeah, I'm going to go visit the mom and just see how much closer to dying she is, you
oh
know?
My God.
And I go, and I kind of chuckle because of the family I come from. He goes, I know that's a horrible thing to say. And I go, no, you're in good company.
Right,
this is a great room to talk about right. this. And so I told him that. I said, no, I get it, man. It is what it is, you know? And he goes, so he goes out there, and Barbara comes in. She's like, well, I'm not going with him, you know, because I'm tired of those. They're all Jehovah Witness. So they always try to convert her when she's yeah. there, I guess. And so anyway, so I thought it was funny again that she bails on her husband.
Yeah.
Makes him drive with his infected foot. Here's the other thing I found out that I thought was hilarious was that the whole reason this whole foot infection started is because his feet are kind of swelling. He's got circulatory problems.
Oh, shit.
And so his feet are swelling. His shoes were too tight, caused him to get a blister because of the circulatory problems with the blister, then couldn't heal mm-hmm. properly, which got it infected and then created this big issue. So her solution to the problem was just to throw out all of his shoes but not purchase him new ones. He came with the last pair of shoes that he owned, evidently. And she explains this to my wife. And so my wife, this is how much of an asshole I evidently am.
Yes.
My wife says to me one night, is it okay if I buy my dad some shoes? And I said, well, yeah, but why does he need shoes? I go, did your mom not get him new shoes?
You know?
And she goes, no, evidently she just threw out all of his old ones and didn't buy him new shoes because they can't afford it. And I go, oh, yeah, then please get the man some shoes for fuck's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
So then
you should have said no.
I know, right? Wouldn't it be great? No, fuck him. Tell him to put it on his Christmas list like the kids. He can wait. Maybe if he believed in Christmas or a birthday, he could actually fucking have something. So then he goes out there and he doesn't come back. Like, we don't know when he's coming back.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought it'd be so great. What if he never did?
He just never did.
I mean, I'd be pissed because I'd have to drive her to a bus station to get her the fuck out of my house. But still, kudos to him, man. But so then he does come back, and this is what I'm ramping up here. And he comes back and he says, and I'm making him lunch.
Yeah.
And I had my laptop out. I was doing something on my laptop. I go, oh, let me get this. He goes, like, no, leave that there. He goes, do me a favor, Justin.
Yeah.
And I said, he goes, I want to pull something up on the computer to show Barbara. And I go, okay. And I go, do you need a web browser? Like, I'm like, what's your awareness of what computers work?
Because yeah.
I kind of want to set it there. And he goes, internet. Like, he just starts talking to it like it's Star Trek. he goes, look on the internet, and he just gives me random words. This is what the world is to him, and
right.
he's not too far off. He just yeah. gives me random words, like that's going to find the solution he's looking for.
Yeah.
And he goes, look for mobile homes in Modesto, blah, he says some other word. I go, okay, and I just type it in going, this ain't going to work, and I hit enter, and this is how fucking jaded we are. It fucking worked. It fucking worked. The world we live in is so awesome that old people can navigate the internet. That's where we are.
Right.
You have nothing to bitch about anymore. So I pull it up, and they're talking about mobile home prices. So here's their financial situation. They are barely eking by, and I don't bring this up.
Apparently.
I don't bring this up to kick them. While they're down, to make that perfectly clear. I bring this up because I have learned through live call-ins that we have listeners that are in their early 20s And if there is anything that has been an eye-opener for me financially, yeah. it has been the sorry life of my in-laws because they have done nothing but live for the now
right.
and duck and dodge. They've had a house that they've refinanced multiple times, just constantly taking cash out of it.
Yeah.
And you don't know it at the time. There is no part of high school where they explain to you, these are ways that, like, everybody likes to bitch about the Social Security system and all that stuff. And
yeah.
here's the thing. It's not meant to sustain you in a high level of life that you've maybe worked to attain before retirement, right?
Right.
It's just meant to get you by. That's all.
It's for ALPO.
Yes. It's yeah, exactly. It's for ALPO and to keep the heat on so you don't Fancy die feast. As an old lady in Wisconsin.
Right, right.
So here's the thing that what they've done is they've, you know, constantly refinanced their house, taken cash out, live for the now. And now, unfortunately, they are going to live very, very meagerly
yeah.
in the remaining days of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really sad, to be 100% honest. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you and say that I'm not looking forward to when it comes on her doorstep.
Yeah.
I just all I could do is hope and pray that she dies first. So that he can at least have – because if she dies first, he will be okay. But it's when right. he dies that his pension gets cut in half.
I'll tell you what. Even if he has no money, if she dies first, he'll be better.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Well, I would totally let him live back here. I totally
right.
would.
Right.
She cannot. She unfortunately cannot live back here.
Oh,
but,
wow.
So we start going round and round on this thing, and Natalie is like a fucking guru when it comes to real estate. In fact, I want to do this whole conversation gave me two ideas.
Yeah.
I want to have Natalie on here to help talk to people about mortgages and all that stuff. And then I also, in the episodes that I do with my dad, I want to make it more about here's what I've learned in my life, because he's probably yeah. a good, you know, 10, 15 years at least older than most of the listeners to this show.
Yeah.
And if especially for even the younger folks that are new into, you know, starting their family or anything, if there's any kind of insight that he can give, because the man literally went from parking the car on top of his water meter at 35 to retiring at 57 worth about $2 million.
Wow.
And so he knows how to make money and he knows what to do with it. But he's not a mover and a shaker in the real estate or the, you know, the stock market or anything.
I have
that
to
bullshit.
Ask you, what does parking his car on top of his water meter mean?
That's how broke we were. That
oh, it, to when, hide the water meter?
No, to if the car was on it, then the city couldn't come and turn the water off.
I see.
When gotcha. my stepmother would steal food from the hospital, like mm-hmm. leftovers that people weren't eating from
wow.
the hospital so we could have dinner.
She worked there or she yeah. just went through and looted?
No, she faked okay. Bell's palsy so she could get in.
You fucker.
All she had to do was learn to fuck up her plosives, and then they just put her right ahead of everybody, and then she took all the turkey yes. sandwiches she could and then left.
And
but so anyway, yes. So I'm having this conversation with them, and it starts coming down that they only have maybe $30,000 in equity in their house. It needs a lot of work, so they're definitely not going to get top dollar for it. They
right.
fucked it up a lot. They break down all of their money, and after I take care of everything and look at their income versus their money going out, they have about $480 left for groceries.
Oh.
And I said, how much are you spending on – of that $480, how much are you spending on groceries? And he said about $600 a month, and he kind of chuckled, and I went, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
On top of that, they have a 45, as I've mentioned on the show, I think he's got to be older than 45 now, but the son who just keeps coming back and sucking off of them, doesn't contribute anything. And I know she's trying to do the right thing, but it doesn't help. It does not. If there's anything that has shown me that it does not help to baby your kids, it is my poor, unfortunate uncle and this man here, because they can't stand on their own to save their own fucking lives. And it's just a sad, sad existence for them.
How old is he?
He's in his mid-40s. My uncle, who I think is going to be turning 50 in the next at least year, still lives at home, has not had a job in over 10 years. When my grandmother dies, she's taking care of him his entire life. When my grandmother dies, he literally will have no way of sustaining himself.
Wow.
There will be the house will be provided for him, but because he doesn't have the ability to go out and get a job, my dad set him up with jobs, she set him up with jobs, and he just can't maintain it because he's so wildly insecure because he's never been – it's that thing that birds throw you out of the nest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That we as people don't have that anymore. And yeah, I don't want to get up on a soapbox because I honestly don't feel prepared enough
we don't
to do that.
We don't have time for
and, that's
that
true.
Bullshit.
So ain't nobody got time for that. And so we're talking and we're talking And I send Natalie an email at work saying this is their plan. She, of course, is like, I've been through this multiple fucking times with these idiots. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
She said they can't get a mobile home because they just filed bankruptcy, so therefore they won't qualify for a home loan. I said, well, I think your dad is planning on taking cash out of the house to pay for the mobile home.
What cash?
So then it's paid for. Well, he'll get $30,000 to $40,000. The mobile homes, a nice mobile home in Modesto was going for about $56,000.
Okay. Okay.
And so he thought at the time he could get about $50,000 out of the house, pay cash for the mobile home. But then what he's forgetting is it's $600 a month for the land to rent the mobile home, to put the mobile home on. His mortgage payment is only about $983. So he's not really saving that much money in the big picture.
Right.
So we go round and round and round and round and round. And I finally kind of do my thing that I've done with my family. And I just say, listen, I spent a night where I looked around at apartments to see what the cost of living was in Modesto. They had said they don't want to live. He had said he doesn't want to live in Modesto. He wanted to move someplace else. So we started looking. He goes, like, he talked about Arizona. I said, well, you're not going to be able to afford Phoenix. He goes, right. But I'm thinking like an outlying area. I said, yes. So we look in like Tucson, but it's still a little too expensive, but maybe doable. And then we start looking in New Mexico because there's nothing really there. And, and so we look at Las Vegas, New Mexico. But then he's like, I don't want to live in the boonies. And so it's this weird thing where, you know, you feel like he gets it, but he doesn't really get it because he still feels like he's in a place where he could say, this is what I need.
Yeah.
And I said to him, that's funny. Jeff said he can get one for $6,000 in Oklahoma, which is ironic because that's where my mother-in-law is. But she is trying so hard to be a Beverly Hillbilly that it's not even funny. Like, she tries to act like she has money when she has none. And it's sad. Like, it's pathetic. And so it all comes down to where I say, okay, I did some wrong math, and Natalie corrected my math, and she said, that won't sustain them for 10 years. It'll barely get them 3 years. And I went, okay. And so I said to both of them, I said, then this is your option. If you want to stay in Modesto, you have to pay $550 a month for a studio apartment. And I go, that is the only way that you can sustain yourself, and you have to do this now. I'm going to step back real quick because one of the things I thought was funny was that she had said when he was talking about all this and first brought it all up, you know, it was kind of, he was frustrated because he said, it's disgusting. He goes, you work your entire life and then now you don't work anymore. And all you really want to do, he goes, I don't want a lot. I just want to be able to go out to dinner every once in a while. That's really all I want. And I can't even do that. And so I'm in the kitchen doing dishes and she comes in and she goes, I think it's because he's worried about me for when he passes that there won't be enough money for me to even take care of myself. He's been really worried about me. Now the man can't hear worth a shit.
Right.
Not 5 minutes later, I'm in the other room and I'm talking to him and he looks at me and he goes, she's constantly bitching and complaining about what she's going to do after I die.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
And then to go back to where he's saying, all I want to do is go out to eat every once in a while. Right. And I go, so you don't want anything extravagant. And he was like, no. And she goes, the only extravagant thing he's ever done is buy me Gucci perfume one time. And he goes, well, there again. He goes, she's constantly complaining about how I never buy her anything.
Right.
Even if I wanted to buy her something, I couldn't because we can't afford it.
Right. And then when he does, she complains that that's the only thing he ever did.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, I hate this woman.
Right. She's a horrible piece of shit.
Yeah.
At one point, the man can scoot. He can only take a step that is 2 inches broad. That's his gait.
Yeah. Wow.
And he just kind of wiggles around. He cognitively, he's still there and everything with his brain is fine, but he can't move very well. And she jokingly said, well, he could get a job, you know, because Natalie said, you know, you'd need to make at least 20 grand a year or 15 grand a year. And then that would fix things.
Right.
And she goes, well, I told her he could get a job, and then starts laughing. And I kind of told her, like, I just kind of looked at her and said, this isn't something to laugh about. And I just kind of looked at her and shook my head and then took a plate back into the – I'm always in the kitchen through this whole thing.
Right, so that you can not explode.
No, I was actually pretty calm. It was – Natalie was the one who was losing her shit, to be honest. She kept saying, I don't know why we're talking about this. Nothing is going to change because this is literally the fourth round we've gone with them.
Yeah, it's got to be hard for her too.
It used to be. Now she's really washed her hands of it, to be honest, which I thought was very interesting. But here's where it all came to a head and what I found really interesting and to me is the most showing part of this whole thing. So if there's anybody who listens to this and this any way impacts your life with your in-laws or – God forbid, your personal life with your own finances. I really hope that this can help turn things around and that you're hearing it in time. But she goes, Justin, I don't know why we're talking about this. It's never going to change is what Natalie says. And I said, okay. I said, well, Barbara, I go, is this true? Is what Natalie says true? I said, She goes, what do you mean? I said, are you not willing to sell your house and move into an apartment? And she goes, well, we'd have to get the right, you know, price for the house or whatever. And I said, no, I don't think you understand. You're not in a position to negotiate. Mm-hmm. This is the house is really fucked up, to be honest. It's not horrible and unlivable, but they've done little things to try and fix it up and make it look nice.
Yeah.
But because they're white trash and don't have any money, it actually looks worse than what it was if it would have looked like it was from the 70s when it was built.
I'm sorry to laugh.
It's funny. It's all very funny. Like one of the other funny moments is that I said, the only thing you guys have going for you is that you have so many kids. There's 7 surviving children left. I said, I don't know what everybody else's financial situation is. I said, I have an assumption of what mine is, and I have assumption of what the guy who's living in your house at 45 plus is probably not that good. They go, no, zero. And I said, so if everybody chips in $100 a month, and she goes, no, I don't want that. And he goes, I don't want that either. I said, I know you don't want that, but I don't think you understand that if you don't do something, that's going to be the only option.
Right.
And I said, and Natalie goes, nobody else has any money.
Yeah.
And there's only like a couple other siblings that could even come close. I said, not even $100 a month. She goes, I really don't think so. Everybody else is struggling.
Well, look what their example was.
Right. Exactly. Exactly my point.
Thank you.
Exactly how this.
That's why I'm here.
That's right. In my opinion, why this all ties in and comes together. It's why I got so emotional when I had Rachel on, Rachel Cruz, Dave Ramsey's daughter, because that man, what he taught me, literally turned my family tree around. It literally changed everything in my family and the whole dynamic. And so I said to well, if that's not on the table, I said, then you're going to have to sell the house. I said, and you're going to have to do it in January. And she goes, and I said, so is that something you're willing to do? And she goes, well, we'll have to think about it. And I said, no, Barbara, I need an answer from you now.
Right.
I said, because Natalie's saying nothing is going to change. I said, so I need you to look at me and tell me yes or no. Are you willing to sell the house? She goes, well, the house could be worth $220,000. And Natalie goes, you're not getting $220,000 for that house.
Right.
She said, top dollar right now would be $190,000 if you're lucky. And that's, she goes, and you would have to do a lot of work. And I said, and the problem is, Barbara, you don't have the money to do the work to the house. So therefore, you have to sell it as is. So you have the house is not an option. She goes, well, the house, the market's coming up. What if I sit here? She goes, we stay there for another 2 or 3 years, or we stay here a little longer to get the price up, and then we're fine. I said, no. I said, you have a cash flow problem right now.
Yeah.
And I said, you're going to stay there for, say, okay, 2 or 3 years. In 2 or 3 years, the housing prices in Modesto aren't jumping up like they are, say, here in Southern California. Mm-hmm. I said, you're going to maybe see a $10,000 increase. And in those 3 years, you're going to pay $30,000 towards a mortgage that you will never pay off.
Right.
And then my father-in-law, when I said, so I go, you're going to have to get an apartment.
Let alone being upside down on just living expenses.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my father-in-law said, he goes, well, I have something like, you know, he goes, there's a sense of ownership. Right. That he goes, that's the part I don't like about going into an apartment. And I said, Ron, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to be frank with you. I said, you don't own that house right now.
Yeah.
I said, the bank owns it until you pay it off, and you are not going to pay that house off before you leave this world.
Right.
I said, so the only thing you should find comfort in is that the fact that you at least had a house for a good chunk of your life will maybe afford the luxury for you to move into an apartment and offset the cost of rent for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
I go, that's what your ownership is going to earn for you.
Right. Right.
And he was like, well, you're right. You know, and so I went back to my mother-in-law and I said, so tell me, Barbara, will you to avoid financial ruin? This is how I phrase it. To avoid financial ruin, will you sell that house and move into an apartment? And she goes, well, I don't want financial ruin. I said, OK, then answer the question. Will you move into a studio apartment or not and sell that house by the end of January? And she goes, she just kind of sits there.
Right.
Now, can you imagine you and I in that situation where one of our children is looking at us and numbers don't fucking lie. This isn't a thing where he's a teenager, you know, or I'm a teenager trying to get all cocky and pump up my chest. Like, not to toot my own horn, but to look at it for what it is. I am literally a guy sitting in a $500,000 home, right, that is doing okay because I've put numbers together and made it work, and you have chosen not to listen. You're just like, it was so hard for me to look at her and go, what the fuck are you thinking? Are you really going to do this?
Right.
It's like watching a game show. And like, you know,
I was thinking Deal or No Deal.
Yeah, or Smarter Than a Fifth Grader even, where it's like, you're just like, I know, it's fucking John Adams. It's John Adams. Like, you're just sitting there screaming at the television. He's like, I don't know, it could be Thomas Jefferson. No, it's John Adams, you dumb shit.
Right.
And so so she goes, well, and then my father-in-law pipes up and he goes, well, I don't know about a studio. She goes, yeah, I couldn't move into a studio. And Natalie goes, see, I told you. And I said, no. I said, that's fine. I said, so you guys know, there is no ill will from me. I harbor right. no anger, no frustration. And that's the God's honest truth. Right. I was honestly shocked. But what they don't know is that it was a humongous weight lifted off of my chest because yeah. I had put it to them blatantly. And they actually both, it wasn't even one-sided. They both said, So I said, so you know, this will be the last time we ever talk about this. I said, wow. So you won't have to deal with the uncomfortableness of this conversation,
right.
as I'm sure
right.
it is. I said, I will never tell you what to do with your finances. I will never come back. And I said,
right.
and I go, and the consequence of that, though, is there will be no help.
Right.
There will be no help coming from this family in the future. I said, none whatsoever.
Wow.
And so she kind of looked at me and she kind of smiled like trying to.
Barbara.
Yeah. Trying yeah. to cover up, you know, what was going on. And I said, and when I mean no help, I mean, you are not going to call your daughter mm-hmm. in 6 months and say, I'm stuck in a jam and use your daughter's real estate experience to help get you out of it. It ends today. I said, so the good part is never going to get confronted. Never going to have a consequence on that side.
Yeah.
Bad part is never. It's never going to be our problem either. She goes, well, I just and she's getting up from the table, still yeah. stammering. And
right, right.
Well, I wouldn't want that. I said, well, that's good because it's not going to happen. And then she left and went out into our audition and stayed out there for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then my father-in-law was left behind. And I said, Ron, I said, I got to tell you. I said, I love you guys. I said, and that's a lie. I love him. I do. I mean,
right.
The only honest to God, if I'm being 100% honest, no humor, no yeah. humor at all. What I do love is, honest to God, what they were able to provide for me
yeah.
in the form of a soulmate. Like
yeah.
that woman, as much as I bitch and moan about her, she is the greatest thing to ever happen to me on this planet. There is
right.
no one else I would rather go through this world with than that lady right there.
I am with you 100%.
She is beautiful. She is funny. She is great to be around. All of the bullshit, all of the flaws, everything I've been through,
yeah.
I would gladly do it all over again. Knowing how it is now, how it is today,
right,
I would gladly go through all that bullshit.
I feel exactly the same way.
About my wife?
About Adam. Fucker. All right.
I have plosives. It's not fair. That's it's not funny. A fair fight. And she left, and I said, but I go, Ron, I said, I love you dearly. And I said, I want you to know, I said, that I really meant no disrespect with anything that I said. I go, I want you to know also that there is no real way that I can give you something back and to appreciate what you've provided for me
yes.
in the form of your daughter. I said, but what I can guarantee you is that your daughter will never go through what you're going through now. And I will work every day for the rest of my life to try my best to give her, to make sure she wants for nothing.
Yeah.
I said, but that's all I can do. I said, and I wish I had the cash flow to be able to help this for you, you know, help you guys
yeah,
through this.
Right.
I said, but I can't in good conscience, you know, take away from my own family in order. He goes, nope. He said, Justin, you've been honest and straightforward, and that's the way it should be. And mm-hmm. he said, and I wouldn't want anybody to contribute anything because it's my fuck up,
right.
and I'm the one who should have to deal with it. And to me, that is a man. I mean,
right.
as much as we could joke about he doesn't have the balls to tell his wife to shut the fuck up and fall in line, but that
right.
I really – there was a time when I thought that's what it is to be a man, but it's not – and I think that always got convoluted with like, well, oh, you should tell the woman to – no. I'm saying it really what it has become now is it's the partner. I think everybody, like Dave Ramsey says, everybody has a spender, everybody has a saver.
Yeah.
And it's the saver's job to tell the spender to say, hey, shut the hell up and calm down.
Yeah.
And it's the spender's job to tell the saver, hey, let's have a little fun.
Yes.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So take away the male-female aspect of it. The poor guy just doesn't have the cojones to deal with his wife's nagging on him to where he
yeah.
can shut her down. And it's just going to drag him across the cheese grater for the rest of his remaining days. But I walked away from that Thanksgiving going, man, I'm so happy because now it's clear. There is
yeah.
no gray area. I looked you dead in the eye.
Yeah, yeah.
And Natalie,
well, there's no gray area except that it'll happen anyway.
It will happen.
But you'll have the moral high ground.
But I will be able, I will literally, because Natalie said, she goes, well, she's going to call me. I said, if I am standing next to you, mm-hmm. she goes, if she calls me, I'm going to say, listen, Justin told you, we're not going yeah. here. So if you want to talk about something else, we could talk about something else, but we're not going into this.
Yeah.
And if I'm in the car, I will politely take the phone from my wife and yeah. say, Barbara, I am terribly sorry, but I explained this to you. So if you have something else to talk about, you can call back, but I'm sorry, and I will hang up on her.
Mm.
Because that's what has to happen. Because the unfortunate part about this is that they are going to hit their rock bottom. Everybody has a rock bottom. Ours yeah. was turning in cans to get money, to get gas in the car, to go to work when we were right. in our early 20s. When right. that happened, and I had an appendectomy, and we had no medical insurance.
Oh, my God.
That was our parking the car on the water meter moment.
Yeah.
That I went to my father, and I said, what the fuck is going on? We each have three jobs. It's not like we're not working.
Right.
What are we doing wrong?
Right.
And that's when he gave me Dave Ramsey's book. You have to, and they're hitting their absolute rock bottom in their mid-70s and early
80s. Well,
they're
80s. At a point where they don't have rally time.
Yeah.
No, that's...
It's over. It's out. It's lights out, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was my Thanksgiving. One of the other things that I thought was interesting
was
about...
Was that on actual Thanksgiving?
No, that was actually the day before they left. I don't know if that okay. was coincidental.
Maybe so, yeah.
This happened in the early afternoon. I honestly think that if she could get in the car after that moment, she could leave.
She'd have gone.
And I was delightful. I was polite. I really, I know it sounds maybe weird to some people, but it literally did. It was like a cleansing for me. It was very cathartic that I was like, I had conversations with her. We joked and we laughed. There was a great moment. I took him out to dinner. And she had a very passive aggressive. This was before the conversation, though.
Okay.
Or no. Yeah, it was before, I think, the conversation. We went out to Outback, and she was saying, she goes, well, Grammy would love to have you guys over. People have listened to the show, know for a while. She's been trying to let the kids spend the night. She has the use of one of her hands. Yeah. He can barely move. And there's a drug addict living in their house and a pool in the backyard. Let's not get into it.
Right.
All you need to do is throw a gun that's not in a gun safe, but just out in the open.
Right.
Possibly loaded. We don't know.
Right.
Maybe some heroin needle. Needles or just needles for diabetes, even. Right. You know what I mean? Just that kind of shit to be.
Absolutely.
No doorknob on the front door or any doors in the house. So they just run around and sleepwalking. But
Some electrical outlets that are not secure.
Yeah. There you go. I like where your head's at. And but attached to those, like pacifiers attached to the outlets, like hanging on them for no reason, or shiny fish lures to attract attention to it.
Yes.
So we're at Outback, and she's like, well, Grammy just loved to have you, but your mother just won't let me. Evidently, she thinks I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
And I just kind of chuckled. And then she goes, right, Justin? She goes, I've raised three kids, and they all dirt. I just kind of looked at her.
Get through it.
It was so That's great. Funny. She goes, well, I said, yeah, you kind of threw yourself in a hole on that one, didn't you? She started laughing, and I started laughing, and then she started slapping me because she was angry. But right, I said, yeah, I didn't let up on that. I go, you just walked right into that one.
That's
I said,
funny.
You might want to never bring that up again. But one of the other things Natalie said was
you won't
that,
be laughing together anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Natalie offered, she said, well, what if we assume their mortgage? That was a thing, because we want to buy real estate property and all this stuff.
Oh.
And what I explained to her, I said, well, then we might as well be giving them $500 or $600 a month. Because if we buy a real estate, an investment property in Modesto, we're going to spend half the money, but the monthly return, that's where it all comes down. It's the monthly return.
Right.
I could put a smaller chunk of money, but the monthly return is only going to be $1,400 a month.
Right.
I said, but here, if I put a larger return, then the monthly return is closer to $2,500, $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
And I do that a couple times, and now I can sustain my family. Now I'm fine. We can easily live off of that. So sorry if I'm getting up with on a soapbox or any of that stuff, but that was what happened. That was my Thanksgiving.
Well,
weekend.
I can do my Thanksgiving much more quickly than that.
Oh, okay.
It just goes like this. Invited a perpetual orphan friend of mine. He was supposed to travel back east, and then he decided not to, so I included him with us, and we went to a nearby restaurant, the Daily Grill, over there by the airport, by the fantastic Bob Hope Airport. Try saying that. And which I've been to, but Luna and the others hadn't. And we had a nice dinner there. Somebody else cooked. I did the run in the morning, and I didn't set any records, but I got to the end, and I have some pictures I can share.
Who all participated? Because last we heard, everybody was supposed to participate in the turkey trot.
No, it was Diego Luna and myself, Chad.
He said no bueno?
He stayed at home to watch after the animals. I'm sure that he didn't do anything with the animals during that time. So
don't you love it? My son's already starting that. Like, he's selling me on the idea of why he thinks that what he wants is what's best.
It's
really
work.
I'm doing this for you. It's not about me.
Right. So we did that in the morning. That was fun. And then, you know, we went to a very early, we had a 3 p.m. reservation and we, went and did that. And that was lovely. And some people had turkey and some people had steak and everyone had what they needed. And, I had a pot pie.
Ooh. Turkey pot pie or chicken?
I think it was probably chicken.
Heresy.
Yes. It was just off the regular menu. Yeah. So I don't think it was a special deal there. And then he came back to our place and we played some video games for a while. No thanks to you, by the way.
I know, right? They were constantly calling me saying, you know, hey, what game can you help us out here? And I was like, nope. My favorite was when Doreen called me and said, hey, we want to do Call of Duty. Can you give us the new one? I'm like, I bought it digitally. I was like, the last one. I'm like, I literally have no help to you. I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, you could sign in under my profile, but it would take 4 hours to download the game anyway. Sense. So it was no sense at all. So.
No, that's all right. So anyway, that was it. It was nice, and it was done.
Nice. I want to tell – well, I'm going to bring this caller in that we have.
Oh, yeah, please.
But one quick story that I had, and because I thought it would also be fun to talk about Thanksgiving's past and just the difference, right?
Yeah.
We had a Thanksgiving where my dad wanted to go out camping, so we did the – he always smoked a turkey, infamous smoking of a turkey.
Yeah.
This was the worst Thanksgiving ever and one of the most fun in memories because my dad was just cussing, motherfucker, this, and trying to light the smoker. Couldn't get it to light, just pouring lighter fluid and everything on the stuff. And just, And then he was just, motherfucker, and then he took the match to light the thing to try it again to see if he could get it. But he had so much lighter fluid in there, and it was in such a small container that it was kind of hot outside in the mountains of November, and so it kind of was starting to vaporize a little bit. And it was funny because as soon as that match broke the top of that smoker, like a mushroom cloud of fire came out of that thing. And my father is a very hairy man.
He is a hairy man.
And it singed his eyebrows, his beard. He had no hair on his breasts or on the center part of his belly. God. Whatever was protruding the most.
And the smell.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And he was. And then also my mother fell out of the motorhome like 2 or 3 times. Once carrying coffee, which she didn't really spill
or burn.
I thought
you meant she blown out of the motorhome.
No, by the fire. No, she fell down the steps. Once carrying wine, which was also fun. She spilled a little bit of the coffee. The wine, which is her favorite drink, she did not spill a lick of. She had 2 glasses of wine, one in each hand. And then one time, she also fell carrying the turkey, like she was bringing it out.
Yeah.
And almost toppled it, but everything was fine after that. But I thought that was fun. Let's talk to our caller.
Yes.
Tell us your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hey, Justin, it's Sam.
Sam, again, the man, the myth, the legend. How was your Thanksgiving? Everybody's dying to know, Sam.
It was good.
Good job, Sam.
Sam, you really paint a picture with words.
Yeah, you know what, Sam? I'm so happy that you have your plosives when you broke down Thanksgiving for you and your fam. Sam, how are you dealing with your internet celebrity? I mean, you're a constant buzz in the chat room whenever we're live. Is it a lot of pressure for you to deal with?
No.
Again, excellent answer, Sam. That's just, you know what I appreciate about you is that you never take the reins. You know what I mean?
He doesn't steal the spotlight.
Yeah. You understand where the light is pointed and you just, you let it hit you and you just hold up a mirror and shoot it right back. I appreciate that.
Well, I figure when you get rid of Paco, I'll be your next co-host.
Uh-oh.
Let's be honest. Let's not talk about when. Or let's talk about if. Let's talk about when. I mean, the poor man has use of only half of his face. I mean, how much longer can this last, Sam? You are located in Wisconsin, yes?
Yeah.
So what did you do for Thanksgiving? Go into more specific details.
Well, we built igloos and decorated our igloos.
I've never heard of such a thing. Yeah. I mean, I know what an igloo is, but...
Yeah, two questions. Why did you not open with that when I said, how was your Thanksgiving? Because I don't know if you know this, fuckwad, but not everybody is going around building goddamn igloos on their Thanksgiving, all right? Follow-up question to that. Why are you pronouncing it igloos and not igloos?
Because I live in Wisconsin, we pronounce it igloos.
There you go. Okay. All right. I like it. For a moment, I was hoping it was not made out of blocks of ice,
but it's actually out of scrambled eggs.
Yeah. So, how does one build an igloo? Or igloo?
You start your stove and you start scrambling eggs.
You son of a bitch. Now's the time where you bring in the joke.
Yeah, see?
Sam. I got to be honest. I love to hate you. So really, though, how do you build an igloo? Break it down for me.
All right. Well, it snowed like 8 inches over Thanksgiving. So we got this like block maker from like Fleet Farm. And so it makes just individual blocks. And it's like a 3-foot by 2-foot block. And you just make a bunch of those and you pack it in the mold. You just build igloos with it.
That's really cool.
Nice. And so you do the whole dome top, or is yours a square? How do you, like, because that's always been my curiosity.
Yeah, you can dome top it, but it's easier to make, like, a fort almost.
Oh, okay. And then, like, so is it big enough? How tall are you, Sam?
Like 5'10".
So you can get in there pretty easily, or do you have to get down and crawl in, or how does it work?
Well, yeah, why would you just walk into it? No, you gotta make the entrance. Listen, you gotta crawl through it.
Don't condescend to me, all right, young man? Let's not forget, A, I'm your elder, and B, this is my show, okay? I give you a place to be a celebrity, all right? I am the Ray J to your Kim Kardashian.
Oh, this just took an ugly turn.
So what happens after
you
build?
Not even Kanye. Why wouldn't you be Kanye?
Well, because I'm the launch. You understand? There will be another Kanye. When he becomes third banana on, dipshit Nimrod in the morning there in Wisconsin, that'll be his Kanye, either dipshit or Nimrod, depending on who the bigger one is. But so, Sam, does everybody in the family build one? Is there like a pageant of some kind? Or you build them, have some kind of an ice war? I have to know everything about this.
No, you get two sides. It's like one side of the family and the other side of the family. Each build like an igloo. We just have like a snowball fight over the sides of the igloos.
And what does your dad do during this?
I don't know. Probably drinks.
He drinks. So he's not participating in the igloo building?
No, it's just cousins.
Oh, it's cousins. Okay, so it's all the kids that are doing this thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Is either igloo still standing?
Ooh.
Probably. It's still pretty cold.
Yeah. I'm frustrated because Jeff also came up with this joke, but I have to know, Sober Sam, do you smoke your turkey?
No, you don't smoke turkey. You eat it.
Ah, come on, man. No, when you prepare your turkey, when your madre or your padre, when they make your turkey, do they do it in an oven or in a smoker? I think all of us listening are going to go smoker.
No, my grandma makes it, and it's this weird crock pot type thing.
Oh, slow cooker.
Mm.
So not a smoking at all, more traditional. That's good. That's good to know.
No.
All right.
Yeah. I think he's too busy smoking something else.
Yeah. So are you? How high are you right now, Sam?
What?
How high are you right now?
I don't know. I think it's like 10,000 feet above sea level.
Look at this guy. Oh, my gosh. Sam, you're the best.
You're an answer for everything.
You're amazing on the audio medium. I got to be honest. You started off slow, but you rose to the occasion. You ramped it up. Your performance was dynamic. It had levels and ranges.
Absolutely.
And I absolutely appreciate it. But again, just straightforward. You are not on the marijuana right now.
No.
No.
I'm not doing the drug ass.
All right, let's stick to you, Sam. You're the character we need. I don't need you accidentally slipping into some kind of quasi-offensive racist accent, okay? If you go British, it's okay, but only if it's as good as Paco's.
Oh, yes, please.
All right? We got to do a British accent with the Bell's Palsy. Oh, my gosh. This is going to be great. Stay tuned for that closing of the show. All right, Sam. What'd you say?
is this a better accent for you?
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah, work on more characters to call into the show with, Sam, okay?
Ooh, okay, just a move.
Next time, yeah, let's talk Mr. Christmas. Bill. Let's talk Christmas with that Mr. Bill Mickey thing you just did, okay? I want to know what what the Sam's family is building for Christmas.
Probably more igloos.
Okay, Sam.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Sam, thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Oh, well, that's how you know it's a good show when Sam calls in. You know you're doing something right. All right, so let's see. What else do we have? We went over.
Montefiore.
Do you have any like old Thanksgiving quick?
You know what? As you were doing it, I thought I wish I'd known about that before.
I apologize.
No, that's okay.
Well, honestly, it's because
show prep.
I didn't think of it like as
right.
If
I understand.
I thought of the idea, and I thought it's not like come up with the perfect. It's
no,
like,
no, I understand.
Thanksgiving
nothing,
memory from
nothing,
your childhood.
Nothing
jumps out.
No. All of this was just okay. Here, I'll tell you. I'm sorry.
No.
Not so much from my childhood, but from my mid-20s.
Ooh.
In college, my mother, I'm living in New York City. My mother's in upstate New York. You can cue the sexy music. No, I'm joking.
Here, I got one. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
All right, so I am
going. We'll talk about your mother and this music playing
yeah,
in the
this
background.
This is not going to work.
Some kind of pasty situation, I imagine. Okay, I'm sorry.
You killed my boner. All right. As she is a vegetarian,
sounds great for Thanksgiving.
Yes, as is my brother, and at the time my sister.
So this is your whole life they've been vegetarian?
Well, no, but, okay. by my 20s they had all sort of converted.
They converted.
So I would go up there.
So you were the rebellious black sheep
yes,
by eating meat?
Exactly.
You crazy SOB.
Yes. So there'd be squash and mashed potatoes and homemade bread and, you know, vegetables and green beans and all these other stuff, but there just would not be any turkey or meat related.
They wouldn't
food.
Even make a turkey for you.
No. I mean, I think I was allowed to not, this is going to sound worse than it was, but I think there was one occasion where I brought some cold cuts. I brought some Oscar Mayer prepackaged, whatever.
You had bologna for Thanksgiving.
It might have been ham, but yeah, that's the idea. Head cheese. And I can remember.
See, I'm so glad I asked.
Yes,
great.
I can remember looking across the table and watching my brother eat a mashed potato sandwich. He was chowing down. Oh no! I got him. I got him good.
Why? Why put it in bread?
I don't know. That's how he did it.
Oh God. Starchapalooza.
Yeah. So there's your Thanksgiving memory.
Oh, well
there
done.
Was a couple of years of that and
oh my gosh, that was great. Yes, thank you. All right, let's do a little Montecore
report.
I missed this earlier.
That's okay. So here's the deal. I was on the phone trying to make my eyes getting me. Hold on a second. I was on the phone trying to I was trying to make an appointment for my neurologist, and Luna was taking Montecore in back, and as you know, it's been raining a lot, so it's kind of unpleasant out there, and so I'm in the middle of the conversation trying to set up the thing, and I start hearing yelling from outside, and I recognize pretty quickly that she's not just yelling at Montecore for doing something inappropriate in the backyard. There's more than one dog involved. She's somehow out there with other dogs. So I basically hang up on the doctor's office, and I head out back in my bare feet, and I come out the door, and I see her, and I see Montecore, and I see Siegfried going at it again, and there's Roy.
Not going at it as in
not,
like.
Not in a good way. No.
They're not doing that. They're not doing a little Thanksgiving doggy style. No. Here's a little extra stuffing after the holidays for you,
no.
Siegfried. I know the way you like it. In the keister. A little something hello from Germany.
Yeah, right. That German sex is...
Bring down that wall. I don't even know what that means.
They are fighting again.
Uh-huh.
And she's out there. She's got a... like a kitchen towel, or maybe a little bigger than a kitchen towel. We have recently learned that Montecore is terrified of kitchen towels So we're assuming that this poor thing has been beaten with them before, but we've been using
it. You've had it its entire life.
No. We rescued it at 11 months.
Oh, really?
I haven't had her for a year and a half. And so we will use it just to, we'll show it. We'll just show it to her and it'll get her to cooperate.
Who rescued who though, Adam? Did she really rescue her?
I think she may have.
Or did she attack you?
Well, so she's out there flapping this towel at these two dogs. It's doing nothing, and she's shouting something. None of the command words are coming out of her mouth anyway.
Knock it off! Right. Knock it off!
Stop it. What are you doing?
Why are you doing that?
So, I mean, and it's a terrible situation.
Be nice to each other. It's Thanksgiving.
You've got three dogs. It's mayhem.
I don't work anymore. You're ruining it.
So I run out there, and it doesn't look like it's a terrible fight. It just looks like they're sort of, you know, circling and
almost no blood
a little bit posturing. There's no blood yet. As far as I can tell, I sort of come
fuck
in.
Fuck you, bro. No, fuck you, bro. Like that.
Yeah, it's sort of like that, but with teeth.
Yeah.
And I determine I'm just going to try to get a hold of Montecore and secure that shit, and then she can take care of the other two however she needs to. And I bend down to sort of embrace Montecore's torso. I plant my right foot, my right bare foot, in the wet, muddy grass.
Oh, no.
And it shoots out from under me as I go down, pulling the dog on top of me, and I could feel crunching and all kinds of things in the back of my leg, basically, I guess, my hamstring.
So not bone, but like tendon.
Not bone, but tendon, and it, I mean, I could, it was like I could.
Fuck, you've had a horrible
week. It was, so, it was like I could. I have not ever had an injury like that before, and it was exquisitely painful. So I'm lying in the mud, possibly in the dog shit, holding Montecore while she rounds up the other two. And then, you know, she gets all the animals secured, and I have to stagger to my feet and make my way inside the house. It was not pretty. I'll admit I was crying. I was just.
You should be. You fucking tendons.
And my face is, I'm like, because I can't, you know, my whole face is screwed up. My leg is screwed up. And at that point, I didn't know. I mean, I thought I might be on my way to the emergency room again.
Oh,
because
my gosh.
It felt like something tore.
Music is disrespectful.
Yes, it is very. I felt like something had torn. I mean, I could. It was like I could feel it or hear it. It was just weird. I could hear something happening in my leg.
Oh, my God, dude.
It was above my screams and my whimpering. So anyway, so having seen my general practitioner today assures me that it was my hamstring and that it will be months before I am.
So you're out for the season. You're not going to make the playoffs.
I'm out for the season. Well, I mean, we make jokes, but one of the big things I do is walk all the time to keep my fucking blood pressure under control. So I am a little concerned about how all that's going to work. So I'm going to have to be super careful with the salts and everything else and blah, blah, blah. But this is what I said to you the other day. This is what happens when you work with the elderly, is that this is the kind of stuff that's going to go on. Oh, it is warm in here.
I know. I feel bad. I was thinking that maybe I have this thing pointed in the wrong way. Let's see what that does.
So anyway, that was the Montecore report. I mean, no reflection on her. She was just – and the assessment is
– here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
No, the assessment is that it was not the savage battle of before. It was more of a testing type thing. So I said just a few more of these and they'll be – good to
go. Fine. Just let them work it out.
Yeah.
What was great about it is that you had injured yourself like you described.
Yes.
So you asked me to come over so I could update you about the Joyride app. You could tell me about what's going on with you. We could kind of make a plan for how we're going to record and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so Montecore, of course, is in the living room. Didn't make a peep. Didn't even fucking make a noise. Just came over and politely like looked up at me like, hey, will you pat me? And I was like, sure, I'll pat you. Like, and I'm just patting her and she's just calm as could be.
Right.
Did you drug her at that point?
No,
or
no.
Or is it just when you keep the little ones out of the equation that's what the state of... Because there was barking from the bedroom, to which Luna had to go, shut up!
Yes. A very effective tool. They just keep going.
Just shut up.
Yeah.
Did you see the novella that Daniel wrote to us?
I haven't caught up with it yet. I do want to see it.
That was the dog trainer that we kept forgetting.
Thank you, Daniel,
name.
By the way. I'm sorry I'm delayed.
And they sent a long email with some links and stuff like that. So that was very kind and very helpful on that end. But
absolutely. I do want to give a shout out, by the way, as long as I'm looking here. I think it's to listener Jeff Allender.
Oh,
I hope I'm not mixing this up, but I believe that he is. You'll have to let me know if I'm getting this wrong, Jeff. I'll be very embarrassed.
Here we go. Now we're talking to people in the chat room. I believe, on the show.
I'm sorry. I believe that this was, I was going to shout out earlier anyway, that he had a new addition to the family today.
Oh,
I believe.
Today?
I think so. Tell me if I'm wrong,
we're
Jeff.
We're waiting.
Humiliate me.
Pins and needles. When will this happen? Sounds good so far.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
He's on a delay.
Okay.
No. All right. Well, congratulations, Jeff.
Yes. Very cool.
Oh, he said not yet. Still waiting.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good.
All right. Well, by the time this episode drops, he will have had the kid on Sunday.
Somebody else wrote, "You're wrong."
You're still right. All right. You're wrong. Sober Sam.
Yes.
Never misses a beat, man. No matter how stoned he is.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's do a little pick a flick. What do you say?
Oh, sure, let's.
Pick a flick. It's time for Paco and his pick a flick. Well, he's been on another movie kick. So listen quick. Is it a hit or shitter? Should you book a sitter? Pick a flick. It's time for you to find out just what you should see. But he won't cheer and sing, cause he hates everything. It's time for Paco's Pick a Flick.
My favorite. So Paco and I had what could only be described as a huge fight before the show started. Where I said, okay, let's pick one movie. You said, no, I'll do two, fucker. And I said, all right, not if we're at an hour and a half, but we're only in an hour. So let's double down on the pick a flick.
Okay, here we go. I wish I had any of my notes in front of me, but I can wing it. As usual, always prepared. all right, the big one for me is the one that Luna and I saw over the weekend, which was The Theory of Everything in theaters. Now, this is the the story of the relationship between Stephen Hawking and his wife, Jane, starting from when they were in their 20s to probably
like
when
the actor.
In their
What's
50s.
His? The incomparable who?
Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah.
I like so you that. Thought you were going to get me.
No, I
never. I don't have my notes.
There is no doubt in my mind that you know any name of any person that has ever been in a film.
Well, that's very sweet of you.
Especially if I don't know them.
But even still, I'm
like, I feel like if there was some kind of movie that had Tom Cruise in it, I could be like, if you're like, oh, what was that? Who was that guy in Cocktail or something? I could be able to go Tom Cruise. You'd be like, that's the one.
Yeah, but Brian, who was the other guy? Brian.
But you have Wilford Brimley's IMDb memorized. Is what I imagine.
Not exactly, but yeah.
Happening.
Speaking of which, not exactly, but at one of these doctor offices.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're talking about your celebrity sightings.
I said hello to Rance Howard, who's, I believe, the brother of Ron Howard, the older brother.
You believe?
He looks old enough to be his father, but I'm sure he's not his father.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't looked that up. And
Hold on. When you say you believe, so you approached this man?
I said hello to him.
You said, hello, I'm a big fan of your work?
I said that.
Awesome.
I said, I enjoy your work.
It'd be great if he just looks like Rance Howard, but he's a CPA retired for 20 years.
They called him by last name, Mr. Howard, and he walked up and did something. So I already knew who it was by then.
No chance a CPA would be named Howard with the last name.
But he also looks like a Howard.
Right. There's no chance of that being a coincidence. What, because he looks so old? Because are they bald like every other Howard?
Right, yes. So, and then the other one was Laurie Metcalf.
Was he wearing that USA, like, naval hat that Ron always wears? Like,
no,
how do you know if he was in the Howard clan?
Does he always wear that hat? Because I think you're thinking of somebody else.
No, Ron Howard for a while. Remember, because I would know this because my kids make me watch the Jim Carrey Chris Grinch movie all the time that he directed. And
oh,
when
so
he does, he directs the dog in a bit, he puts on that, like, naval hat. For a while, it was like an Apollo 13 hat.
Gotcha.
But he had, like, a ball cap that he was wearing constantly for years.
Gotcha.
The same kind of brand.
Well, to hide the balding, I think.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
Who would do such a thing?
Not me.
I took my hat off just now. but my IMDb is just going so slow. It doesn't matter. Theory of Everything. spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
You know, he's walking. And later he's not.
I did not know that about Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
I did know that once I saw the movie, but I thought it was like, I always was curious. I'm like, how did this guy get all this stuff when I thought it was like from a baby, but it's a.
No. I'm sorry. Well, the trailer itself, you see him, you know, walking around.
But that's what I'm saying. This idiot sitting on this side of the table did not know that Stephen Hawking was not wheelchair bound.
No, this is the crux of it. It's based
already on, this movie is explaining things to me.
Yeah, there you go.
If I could walk out of that better understanding the ending to Interstellar, then this movie is worth every penny.
Well, that may not work.
Uh-oh.
So, I'm sorry, I'm scanning down here. A father of actors Clint Howard and Ron Howard. He's the dad.
Ooh.
Rance Howard is the dad.
Oh, he is the dad.
Yeah. Recently in Nebraska, if anyone saw that. So, well, now I've completely lost my way.
You were talking about it's the story of...
Yeah. It's based on... Sorry, I didn't mean to sound so dismissive. I meant, yeah. it's this based on the book.
I wish you could be on this side of the table, because that combined with the numbness of one side of your face, it's like what just happened? Like I thought it was like one of those things where you try to be helpful to an elderly person or a handicapped person. They're like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, it did come
my
out.
My father-in-law
like
does a lot of that. I'm like, can I put some ice in a cup for you? He's like, I got it.
Right.
And then he proceeds to dump ice all over my kitchen floor that I later have to pick up.
Yes. So it's based on a book by Jane Hawking, the wife. So it is not so. It's a pretty evenly balanced story. It's not just like all about him and then she's in a little. In fact, the actress who plays that part, whose name escapes me at the moment, but I'll come up with it soon.
You keep talking about the movie.
Yeah, well, I can't get anything to work here. I don't know what's the problem.
Oh, that's what I'm here for. Keep talking about your movie, I said. Let me host this damn show.
Oh, for God's sakes. Felicity Jones.
Son of a bitch.
That's all right. You can take a look at her. In any case, she does a terrific job. Playing a very dedicated and thoughtful...
It's Felicity Jones.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, my God. It was right on the tip of
my
tongue.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Exactly. I was just about to say that, but I'm now slower than I used to be. she does a fantastic job. Eddie Redmayne is astonishing in his transformation.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And it's funny because he ends up looking shockingly similar to Stephen Hawking, but it's nowhere near as uncomfortable looking at him as it is actually looking at the real Stephen Hawking.
He's playing pretend. He's going to get up out of that chair.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Going to go bang a 22-year-old extra immediately after they call cut.
Possibly. But so they both do a very good job, and it's not a big plotty thing. It's just slices of their life through their years. I found it very interesting and extremely well acted. And a good supporting cast of people whose names no one will know. What David Thewlis is in it.
The incomparable.
Incomparable. Emily Watson plays somebody's mother along the way. a couple other familiar faces. I would give this maybe 3.5 out of 4 dogs.
Oh.
Or 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, wow.
Not quite 4, but knocking on it.
Wow.
Very charming, very sweet. It's a love story, basically, with its own unusual kind of happy ending. That's what I will say about that. Now, I was recommended by one of our listeners to go see, Horrible Bosses 2, which I talked Luna into going to with me today. Because I said, look, I'm going to have Bickaflick tonight.
Yeah, why did you see this again?
Why?
Yeah.
Because one of our listeners, and you know what? He's going to kill me, and I'm sorry. My brain is useless. I think it might also have been Jeff Allender, but I'm not sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, who had a sneak out and see a movie in the middle of the day.
Uh-huh.
I hope I'm not getting you in any trouble there, Jeff, if it is back to you at all. And
remember that time you got him fired right before Christmas?
Yeah.
Because he told his boss about the show. Something that he's using to get a promotion.
Right. So anyway.
It's not Jeff Dick. It's Butcher Drew.
Oh, Butcher Drew. Sorry, Drew. Sorry. I am
a
dick.
We like to call him Raven.
Wait, now, is that your dick or is that Drew's dick?
Listen, somebody's getting dicked in here.
My deepest apologies, Drew. I was looking and looking for our
Jeff said, not me. My wife just looked at me like, you did what? Okay. Guys, right. He only has half of his face, everybody. So just everybody calm down.
I am hopped up on a pharmaceutical cocktail that you wouldn't believe. So my apologies to everybody involved, but especially you, Drew. I was so delighted that you were confiding in me, and now I've ruined it. In any case, we went out to see that, and here's the thing, is that I have to caution Drew or any listener that it is a sacred responsibility, and it's nothing to be taken lightly to recommend movies to people.
Yeah, Drew, you have to hate everything if you're going to do it.
Right. You're much better off saying everything is shitty.
Yes.
Because then when you come through with a we had a fairly good time. We saw the first movie, really enjoyed it.
You said we saw the first movie and really enjoyed it. I'm so mad I walked on that. We had a fairly good time. We saw the first movie, really enjoyed it. How could you really enjoy Horrible Bosses and not like Horrible Bosses 2?
Well, I'll tell you.
All right.
No, it's just...
it says right here the script you gave me. I just said my line.
I didn't feel it was... there was sort of an inspired lunacy feeling to the first one for me, but it was still... It still sort of had shape and structure and whatnot, and this just felt a little more slapdash. The guys are still having fun. We love those actors.
Yes.
It was fun to watch them have fun. I felt like the pieces didn't all build up to more than the whole, or however that expression goes. I'm really losing it here. So we had a good time, and there were definitely, I would say, half a dozen times I laughed out loud. But, you know, I laughed
the
out.
Number.
Yeah, I laughed out loud about 8 times at Theory of Everything. So you gotta wonder there.
Is that a comedy?
No, it is not.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, when he's in a ball on the floor crying after he hears.
Hilarious.
Yeah, 2 years left
hilarious.
To live. Yeah,
hilarious.
It's great. You know, it was fun. It was like a parade of cameos from people in the first ones popping in and out, and everyone having a good time. I do feel like Jennifer Aniston. Look. She was America's sweetheart for a very long time.
Still is.
In the first, well, in the first terrible,
not on my show.
In the first horrible,
not
boss,
on my watch, Paco.
She traded in that reputation to be saucy and so on and so forth, and it was a big return there.
Yes, she did.
It's like when what's his name, De Niro does the analyze this.
Yes,
he's been serious for so long, and he's making fun. But then you start to get fuckery, and you get the sequels and these other things. There's diminishing returns here because De Niro's not a comic actor.
How dare you
let it go?
There is nothing better than sitting in a dark room and pretending that Jennifer Aniston is talking. I said Jennifer Aniston. That's her lookalike in the porno world.
There you go.
That she is talking dirty to me.
Well, and Meet the Millers. She did. She played a stripper, and so you're right there. But now I feel like it's going too far.
To be honest, I know I'm poking and prod, but that it is funny because. There is something about her playing a stripper that I'm like, I just don't buy. Like, it's Jim Gaffigan has a great joke about this from Monsters Ball. Do you remember that with Halle Berry?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, he goes, Halle Berry plays this waitress who just really can't make any money and just struggling. And it's just like, man, if you just can't help but watch and go, if she got some pictures together and like, got them out there, she could really make a run at a model. She's a real Halle Berry type. And so I have that same kind of thing with Jennifer Aniston. That it's like you do look a little too girl next door-ish hot to be believable as a stripper.
Yes.
But we're all a fan. Listen, I don't know how she gets that perfectly tan skin. And
I don't know.
But she's a knockout in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a fan of hers, but I just felt there was just a lot of scatological coming out of her this time. And that it wasn't as funny because once you start to expect it, the shock of it wears off. There's a certain shock value to that comedy.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, because we go blue sometimes, and sometimes that's for effect.
When you say we, you mean me.
Well, cocksucker.
Me as in me, not
right,
you.
I understand.
This is getting really confusing for an audio medium.
Who's on first? So, in any case, it was a pleasant diversion, and I certainly liked the credit sequence. was fun, too.
The credit sequence at the end?
Yeah, exactly.
He loves the credit. All right, everybody, go see Theory of Everything, and just wait till the end credits for Horrible Bosses 2.
Yes, when you finish Theory of Everything, sneak into the tail credits of the other thing and you'll be good. No, I had several of my big
best
laughs.
Movie reviewer ever. He
anyway.
Said the credits were the highlight for those of you tuning in at home. By the way, probably the biggest comedy out right now. And Paco says the credits are the highlight. I love it. No other reviewer, hypercritical or not, has the balls to talk about the end credits.
The unmitigated temerity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love you.
In any case, I feel I have some damage control to do with Drew. Uh-oh. So I'll have to, because I couldn't remember his name and then I insulted him.
You got half of your face fucking working.
Well,
you got
I understand.
Blown ACL. You're not going to make the playoffs. We talked about that already.
Yeah.
You've got a lot on your plate. So you mixed up Jeff and Drew. They both start J. You can't even say that letter, for fuck's sake.
That's true.
You couldn't even say Raven, really.
I couldn't say anything. The last note is that I said to Luna, subsequent to all of these movies and ailments, I said, I'm sure you didn't realize when you were watching The Theory of Everything that you were getting a sneak glimpse of what it was going to be like to live with a physically challenged genius. Because my face is contorted and I can't walk.
Please.
I'm halfway to Hawking.
Please. Please, for the love of God, get an app that makes you sound like Stephen Hawking. Because I can't figure
this
out.
I'll work on that for next week.
All I have is demon and chipmunk on this fucking thing. I would love so bad for you to just have to type the entire show.
Well, that would be hilarious, right? I'm sure. Yes.
Edgewise.
Yes. He's copyrighted that, you know.
Oh, really? Good.
Yeah. So we'll be in court. He'll see us in court.
You know, Stephen Hawking, he's pretty smart.
Yeah, he's got a couple of things going for him.
I bet he could figure a thing or two out.
Absolutely.
I bet that guy. Well, it's all relative.
He didn't cheer and sing. He hated everything. Yes, that was Paco's pick a flick.
Yeah. We had a listener, Drew, we're going to have him on the show. He was a guest host in the past, and he now is full. This was before his child was born, so we're going to have him come on and talk about how life has changed post-child.
For anybody
who remembers, he referred to his wife as the P1, which I loved. He's like, the P1 is at bingo fuel. That's what he would say when she was getting hungry while she was pregnant. So he's also a fellow podcaster and, like I said, fan of the show. Great guy. So he said he was cruising around and he was like, pick a flick song is fucking stuck in my head.
look at
that. Butcher Drew says, yeah, Denver Drew. The Drews unite. All right. I got to stop paying attention to the chat room. I love you guys, but I feel like people are listening. Here's the thing. We have, like, I think 9 people listening in the chat room, 3,000 people listening everywhere else, by the way, BT Dubs.
Yeah, but they should... Can you imagine the party
everybody.
It would be in here?
Oh, my gosh. If everybody was in there, we would have to have multiple chat rooms and side conversations and all that stuff.
Fantastic.
That's that. Let's do a little moment of the week and get out of this bitch. What do you say?
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
It's funny that we went back to the moment of the week brought to you by Stitcher because Howard, who is a listener and a big advocate of ours at Stitcher, just saw our Joyride special. I don't think Joyride is a competitive app. I don't know if it is, but I'm sure that they are new on the scene. But he was like, congrats, awesome to be included. And so he's such a nice guy that even though I'm promoting another app that's out there. But anyway... So, of course, went back to the other one. We're going to wait about 4 weeks to have all the numbers come in on
right,
Dad
right.
Gear. Please go to Dad Gear. If you could do me a favor, though, I know that we had Josh and one other guy got the messenger bag that sent us a note on Facebook. And I can't pull his name off the top of my head. I'm just going to call him Jeff because that seems to be what you do. And
if anybody else
got a bag, please let me know because they're curious to track their sales.
Sure.
They know that they got like 334 visits.
That's terrific.
And that the average person stayed for about 4 minutes looking around, but
right.
they think it only translated to on their end it looked like one sale. But I said, well, I know we at least sold two, which is already not a good conversation having with a sponsor going, listen, I know you're gonna kick down some money, but it sounds like they broke even. Is what I'm saying.
Right.
But yeah, so there's
so you're
that.
Saying two, and I sort of feel like it might be three.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. We'll see.
Right.
Hopefully it
but
is.
But listen, the holidays are coming. This is a fantastic gift.
Yeah, why not?
Jump in and do it.
Let's do the moment of the week. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first? Mine are quick and short.
So are mine, sort of. So okay, you go. I've been talking a lot.
It was great. We're talking about how Grammy and Grampy were coming. That's what we call the in-laws to my son. Again, these moments, there are moments when I feel like I'm failing Jacob miserably as a parent, that I'm just, I'm doing something horrible to his psyche and I'm just ruining him as a person. And I just keep chalking that up to, you know, my own insecurity.
Yes.
I'm sure there are people listening going, no, you should follow that.
Right. You should listen to that probably, voice.
Maybe that's a voice you, that's Jiminy Cricket.
Here's the thing. I'm sorry to jump on you, but yeah. The times that you're worrying that you're doing it, those aren't the times you're doing it. That's something else for you to worry about.
Just to make it worse, that's funny. So anyway, but then there's moments like this that are happening more frequently. We have the infamous one where Natalie was reading to him and she just pulled his tooth. And then he asked her about, you know, her childhood. She was saying, oh, well, your Aunt Jennifer did this. And he was like, well, what does Grammy do then? And this one came out where he said, well, Grammy and Grampy are coming. And it's interesting because they don't get crazy excited. It's not like they hate them, but they're kids.
And I understand.
It's more of an interesting thing why we're concerned with how they rate the grandparents. Right, anyway, he goes, oh, and then he was talking about things or something like that. And he said, well, maybe Grammy will bring something for you or something along those lines.
Right, right.
And he goes, yeah. He says, that's how Grandma Cheryl and Grammy say I love you. And Natalie goes, what do you mean? He goes, they buy us things. And then she goes, oh. And I'm sitting there. I didn't laugh, but I was like, because here's the thing. We've talked about the love language on the show. And it's funny to me that he just keys into it, though. I've never discussed love languages with him, but he's so tuned into those kinds of things. And then she said, well, how does Grandpa and Vava, being my parents and my stepmom, say I love you? He goes, hugs and kisses.
Wow.
And so I was like, what?
I'm sorry. The ones who are broke do it by giving presents.
Isn't that funny?
And the ones who have
Well, my mom isn't broke, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh, totally. I see what it is saying. Crazy interesting. The ones that have a fuck ton of money don't ever buy any presents, actually.
Right, but they show.
My dad likes to joke when, because they've been to birthday parties and people go, oh, what did you get him? Like, not being rude, but just like, oh, what did you get him? And my dad goes, oh, we don't do presents, we do experiences. That's what, like,
that's
he's
awesome.
Like he's a PR person for a theme park.
Right, but,
So anyway, he says they give hugs and kisses. And then I think it was Natalie that said, well, which one do you prefer? And he goes, and Jacob kind of sat there and he goes, they're both good, like, which made me very happy because that meant everybody is on an even keel.
Right.
But everybody wins. You know what I mean? Like, clearly those grandparents like to get them presents. That's what's fun for them. And but I just thought it was a cute moment.
That's very cool.
And very beyond his years in awareness of what is going on within this family dynamic.
Right, right, right.
Also, at another interesting moment of awareness is we were having the conversation where they talk about presidents or something like that. And Jack was at he's doing this thing where he goes, I love you. And then at the table, he very cutely said, I love you. And he points to me and he goes, I love mommy and I love Grammy and I love Grampy and I love Jacob. And I said, wow. I said, and he goes, and I love Rocky. And I said, good. I go, well, what about Obama? And I go, do you love Obama? And Jacob goes, Obama's my favorite president. And I said, well, don't tell your grandfather that. That's the joke we have. He goes, I did. I told him. because my dad is such a hardcore Republican. And so I have that quick moment with Jacob. And then Jack goes, Grandpa says Obama needs a lot of help. Now, the funny part about this was I recently told this to my dad, and he said that it was actually they were here for the election.
Yeah.
And Jacob was talking about how Obama was his favorite president. And my dad jokingly said, well, he's going to need a lot of help because the Republicans had won the House and the Senate or whatever, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
But that little line stuck with Jack at 3 years old. And so he busts it out of nowhere, just pulls it out of his ass. Well, Grandpa says Obama needs a lot of help. So I thought that was cute and adorable, too. So back to you,
they
Mr.
Are.
Paco.
All right. So for a change, these are stories about my children from now.
Okay.
refreshing change of pace. One quick little thing is that I've been watching with Diego. We have stumbled across Family Feud. It has become his new favorite program. Watching with the variety of hosts on the Game Show Network, every 10 minutes it's a different host, and we stumbled across a family. I think their last name was Conrad. And they won a couple of nights in a row, so we got to see them several times. And just we're enjoying them a lot in terms of they're just getting it at the last second, and they needed, you know, 2 points, and they got five and all of that, and just the stupid answers that people give. But he was laughing very hard because we were watching the other day, and the question was, what is something you eat, even though it's healthy, was the question. And you ring in, and you say whatever it is. And as he's going down the line, I guess he got a little confused. The host in this particular case, who's, doesn't matter, one of them, says, what is something you eat, even though it's healthy? And she said, broccoli? It was number one answer. So clearly he has broccoli on the card. What is something you eat, even though it's broccoli? And he just ran, he runs around the house now going, what is something you eat, even though it's broccoli? And just laughing and laughing. It's my favorite show. So I said, well, you're lucky because you've got 10,000 episodes of it. It's been on for 40 years. You can watch a variety of dead people do it, yes. And then a couple of others.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. And then
none of them are going to have moments like that, by the way. No, he's going to quickly probably lose interest.
Right, right. Yeah, it's not like, well, you can just go online and get all the game show the bloopers and get out of that. But in any case. Chad, my apologies. We'll bleep that out. Chad was asleep when I went to the emergency room, and he spent so much time hiding in his cave that he kind of missed a lot of what was going on with me. So, I ended up in a car with him, maybe the very night of the day I went to the emergency room. Driving to In-N-Out.
Uh-huh.
And I said, look, I'll do it, but I don't want to be there alone. I want someone to ride shotgun. So she sent both of them out to get in the car with me. Chad's in the back seat. Diego's in the front seat. And Diego's a little more filled in all that was what was going on. He's a little more plugged into it. And Chad hadn't really seen me or heard me. And so we're sitting in the car just sort of going to go around the corner. He's already grumpy because he's not in his room. And she was yelling at both of them. Get out there.
I look so forward to living your life in 10 years. Yeah, I look so seriously. Forward to it.
And so he's grousing back there, and I'm like, you know, I'm trying not to get too cranky about it. And he goes, I just don't like to be in this car because you're all strokey, is what he said. So I pulled over, and I said, look, if it's making you uncomfortable in the car, you can go ahead and go back inside. I won't be mad or anything. We're just around the corner. You should be able to get there pretty easy. I said, no, I'll stay. But he was kind of freaked out because, you know, my face is drooped. And, I mean, you're looking at me today, but I think it may have been worse that day. It comes and goes. What's so weird is the first 30 minutes of every day, I sound perfect. And then as the day goes on, it just degrades.
We'll start recording at 7 a.m.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So, in any case, so then I spent the next 5 or 10 minutes as we're driving out to the godforsaken In-N-Out in North Hollywood, talking about the other times I've had it and what my experience has been, just so that there's some context for both of them about what to expect and so on and so forth. And by the time we're getting there, we're starting to joke a little bit and having some fun. And that reached its high point when I tried to order through the takeout thing, and the woman could not understand what I was saying. I need two double doubles with French fries, you know.
Jim, crackhead Bob's at the window. Either that or somebody's going to start yelling Baba Booey right. at us any minute.
She couldn't understand what I was saying, and Hudson was just, Chad, Jesus Christ, hanging his head in shame, and we were just all laughing very hard and had a lot
awesome.
Of fun. Yes, and we were talking about if I were to get pulled over by the police.
The searcher yes, to be operating
officer,
a vehicle.
Officer. And we decided that the thing that, if they gave me the sobriety test and asked me to say, can you find me my flip-flop, I would be in a lot of trouble. Because I would certainly sound
hammered.
I'm trying to think of what the hardest sentence
would be for me to
say. So I'm
going to need you to blow into this. Yeah, it's got a lot of F's and B's,
well,
right?
I can't blow into anything. Yeah. I can't use a straw.
So it's F, B's, and P's. I feel like somebody could build this sentence pretty quickly.
Yeah,
it's,
probably.
You can't say Paco.
No, I can't. Well, that's just it. I was saying it's a good thing we recorded those lyrics before I lacked the ability to say pick or flick.
I would imagine it would be something like, do you frickin' know who I am? I'm Paco the Bodacious.
Bodacious would be hard.
Bodacious.
Podcaster. No?
Podcaster. There you go. That's a plosive.
All right. So those are my little things. But it was just fun to laugh with my kids, even if it was at my own expense.
Well said, sir. Well said, indeed. You can send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. You can like us on Facebook. A lot of new likes on Facebook. I appreciate that. I'm going to get back. I've taken a little break off the holidays, but I want to start posting some more articles and pictures and stuff like I was doing before.
Yes.
I went into the studio remodel. So I'll post like little fun articles for parenting, little fun pictures that I found there at facebook.com/dad podcast. Sorry. Yes.
I'm going to tag back on one little moment of the week.
Oh, that's right. I was going to ask you, but I didn't. I was going to wait till we turned off the microphones. You had one called "It's in the Blood" or something. Is that correct? Is that what you're going to do?
Oh, no. This is the photograph that Diego sent me, taken from your front porch on Thanksgiving, of you sitting in what appears to be an empty house playing video games.
Yeah. How did he get that photo, by the way?
Because your fucking blind is wide open, and he just walked across the street and stood behind you.
You tell that little shit whistle to mind his own business. He walked up to my own doorstep?
Yeah.
And then takes a picture from my window?
He and Luna went over there, stood behind you, he took video, and he took a still picture. I thought he was saying hello to you, honestly. Uh-huh. I didn't know until later.
And Luna came over, took a creepy picture from 2 inches behind my face, and then left. Came inside.
No. They never. I said to him, I said, did you say hi?
No, Luna and him came over.
Did they?
Yes. The dog went nuts.
At nighttime?
No.
Well, afternoon.
It would have been afternoon, I would imagine, if I was by myself.
Okay, yeah.
Nobody goes anywhere in the night.
He said he said you didn't know he was taking the picture.
No, I didn't know he was taking the picture.
Okay, well, he was taking a picture.
Listen, these fuckers, you just show up at my house. I have 5 minutes to myself to have a little bit of fun and do what daddy likes to do. I want this photo, and I want him to know that I'm gunning for you, dickhead. All right?
I'll let him
He can
know.
Hear this episode. I'm gunning for you permission. Now. Yeah, trust me. You better tread lightly. I'm like Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men or whatever it is.
I thought you were aware that he was taking that picture.
See, what am I playing? That's what I really want to know. Oh, I'm playing Call of Duty.
Yes, because we were going to borrow
it. I'm doing the tutorial mission of Call of Duty.
Right.
And he has the audacity.
I said, go over there and see if we can borrow that.
Borrow Call of Duty?
Call of Duty. Because I had already, it was before you finally told me.
Them and
this is later.
Oh, okay.
Or earlier, I mean. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. You were signing out.
Fucking little shit whistle kid.
See, I was going to post it, and then when you said you didn't know he took it, I thought, well.
I don't care if you post that.
Well, but I wanted to show it to you first.
Anyway, go to the facebook.com/dadpodcast and see Adam's kid being a dick to me. Or you can find it also on Twitter @dadpodcast. Follow me on Twitter @JustinWorsham. Follow Paco on Twitter @TheRealPacoL. Don't forget you can listen live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. See, even Butcher Drew agrees with me, and he's the one telling you to go on movie dates with him. He says creepy neighbors. Super creepy. Fucking kids taking pictures of me. Not in my day. You respected your elders in my day.
Yeah, well.
I'm going to tell him to drop out of school now. Now he's asking for it.
Listen, he'll do it.
If you're listening live, you'll know, but we're going to do a game day on December 6th, this coming Saturday at noon. We're going to play some games. Adam's probably going to have to borrow whatever game we're playing that I'm not going to have to give to him. So if you want to be a part of that infrastructural, colossal clusterfuck, then jump on in. There's a sentence that you couldn't say.
Yeah. I can't even remember it.
My game tag is Justin Comedy. His is Call of Duty. Spelling is in the description on this show. Don't forget to go to thedadpodcast.com. Click on the links on the right-hand side for just $24 a year. You could change our lives. Also new, you could go to getjoyride.com/thedadpodcast, and I'll put that in the description of this episode as well. And that is a app that you can get on any smartphone and iPod, and you can listen to the show, download episodes, and contribute to the show financially, and then have instant access to premium content as well through that. Again, getjoyride.com/thedadpodcast. And do you want me to do it or?
I will do it.
Okay, go for it, my friend.
We're coming up on the end of the year, and it's time to do a lot of Christmas shopping. And it's true. And so what you got to do is you got to go to the website, the Dad Podcast website, scroll down to the bottom, and right there you see the banner for Amazon, and you click on that, and it takes you through to Amazon. You bookmark that. Every time you return to Amazon, use that bookmark, and the Dad Podcast will see a penny here and there of what you spend. And I will let you know that one of our treasured supporters and listeners sent us an email saying that she had spent quite a large amount of money on Amazon through the method previously described. And so
we already got $65.
That's fantastic.
Already. Yeah.
And I think a large part of that is due to our good friend Lori.
Thank you, Lori. Thank
so
you very
I
much.
Will abandon this right now, but go and do it through the holidays, and it'll be a better world for it.
I want everybody to hear this. Is it going to play? Are you kidding me? Awesome. Oh.
Princes of Maine. You kings of New England.
Tell me that does not sound like you.
You princes of Maine. You kings of New England.
That does sound a lot like the voice I just did.
Right? Yeah. On behalf of the amazing Michael Caine, Paco Dooley, Paco Dooley, Adam Dooley, Paco Lancini, this is Just a Worship saying, stay frosty.